This week, Late Junction is broadcasting live from the International Edinburgh Festival. And this evening we join Verity Sharp and guests from the BBC's Edinburgh studios at the Tun for the latest from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes, it's true. We've had to forego those twinkling fairy lights of that wonderful blue tent at the BBC Fringe venue tonight. And we've hunkered down in rather a small studio here in Edinburgh for this shorter edition of Late Junction. Shorter, but in no way any the less rich. King Creosote is here waiting to play for you in a moment. And so too are two demigods of the guitar world, two men who've been working hard to bring the strictly classical together with its more liberal jazz cousin. And in so doing, they've created something even greater than the sum of its parts. They are John Williams and John Etheridge. Isn't it wonderful how transporting music is? I don't know if anybody listening can would have nailed where that music came from. I can tell you because I know, because I was told. That was a traditional piece from Cape Verde. It's a piece called Toy, arranged by Rufino Almeida. It's such a joy to watch you two, not because obviously you're masters of your own instruments, but you obviously just enjoy playing together. It was a great concert this morning at the Queen's Hall, wasn't it? And you obviously so enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did, in spite of it being in the morning.
11 o'clock in the morning.
It's a terrible time. I have played earlier once at 10 o'clock in the morning, but that's it's okay.
Yeah, that is the earliest I've ever played a public performance, I think. Yeah.
There's a kind of synergy. Is that almost a too strong a word between the two of you now? Because you've been playing together like this for, 6 years? I mean,
and before that in a group. Yeah.
Yeah, before that we were doing a lot of African music in a group which we call the Magic Box. There were five of us in that, but after that the guitars mix so well together. You know, John's the acoustic steel string and the electric and the so-called Spanish or classical guitar, but the sounds blend in lots of different ways. So musically there's a terrific variety, you know.
Yes, yes, exactly. We're going to hear, you met in the sort of the music, with your equal, I suppose, love of the music of West Africa and Africa in general. Yep. So we're going to hear more of that a little bit later on. But I am going to turn to our other guests who we have here in the studio tonight to describe Kenny Anderson, who's probably best known to us all as King Creosote. As prolific is probably something of an understatement. Something like 40 albums you've produced, Kenny, over the last 14 or 15 years or so. Diamond Mine was the one that came to the world's attention probably last year because it was nominated for the Mercury Prize. But of course, he hasn't stopped there. He's brought to the studio with him tonight a singer called Amy McDougall, and they're first going to sing us a song. It's called It'll all end in tears, all mine. It'll end in tears, all mine.
Yeah, I get it wrong as well. I was almost going to join in with your G and D there.
Quite daunting for you, I imagine, being in this studio with these two.
Well, this first lyric can pretty much say it all.
That's a genetic disease. There's no help for me. Is that all right then? Is that all right then? You made me pushing me too far this time. It's going to end in tears, oh, all mine. It's going to end in tears. Just being told that I am the worst one here. You think that makes me the worst of the three? My bad temper, well, that's a genetic disease. There's no help for me. It's going to end in tears.
Beautiful stuff. It'll end in tears, all mine. King Creosote and Amy McDougall singing for you live here in the studio in Edinburgh as part of the Edinburgh Festival. I was talking to our producer, Georgia, just before he came on air, and we reckon, Kenny, that you've got the voice of Scotland. You've got this Scottish melancholia.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
Drink gaddled.
But it's true, though, isn't there? There's a real sadness. There's a lot of sadness in the songs that you write.
I think it's when... Well, people ask why they're all sad. It's kind of, I think when you're down and sad, that's when you write songs. If you're happy, you're outside laughing with everybody else.
So that's where the creative spirit really kicks in.
Yeah, I think so. That's, I don't know. Well, I write songs to kind of deal with things. And if you're... that's just the way I handle all the good stuff. Mm.
You live in... Well, I think you still live in East Newark.
I'm still in Crail, in the village of Crail.
The little village of Crail.
It's apparently the most painted harbour in Scotland. I don't mean that they've been out and painted the rocks. I mean oil paints.
And is that, Amy, are you there? Are you from that area too?
No, I'm from Edinburgh, born and bred. So
how did you two first meet?
Actually, I was nanny on tour for another band that Kenny used to sing with and was just really jealous and wanted to be on stage.
Are you part of the Fence Collective?
I've been working with Kenny's big band, yeah. That's really good fun.
Yeah. But East Newark and the landscape around there is obviously a huge inspiration to you. Would you ever sort of consider moving to the heady lights of Edinburgh or even Glasgow?
No, I never really settled in the city, really. The thing about, East Newark, obviously the sea's there, that's a massive influence on, but I think it's more the sort of type of people that are in the East Newark. There's a real sort of humble kind of... lazy. East Newquers. There's no rush, basically, to do anything. So,
and that's what you need.
They still have the back in 10 minutes signs on the shops and half day Wednesday. And there's a really kind of droll character goes around the East Newquay, and just very unassuming. And every day you hear something that you could poach for a song.
And Fife in general has been such an inspiration to all sorts of people, hasn't it? Ian Anderson, Jethro Tull, Barbara Dixon came from Fife.
Dunfermline, was he here?
James Yorkston, of course, who's one of your Fence Collective.
Yeah, he's King's
Fence
Band.
Collective being a sort of, the bigger musical family that you've created up there, I suppose, for your Fence.
We need to get Barbara Dixon in the Fence Collective.
That would be good.
Yeah, that'd be
that
really
would
good.
Be great. And then, of course, you're here at the Edinburgh Festival. I know you love a festival. Hopefully Edinburgh's up there on your kind of wish list, and you're going to be at the Queen's Hall... Tomorrow night,
yeah. I've got an 8-piece or 10-piece band tomorrow night.
Nice one.
Strings and things.
Okay, what are you going to sing for us next?
This is a song from the Diamond Mine record called Bubble. I won't let you fall lows I've been. I promise to crawl until I'm back on my feet. If something were wrong, do you think something were wrong? Don't you know that I'd be here? So who's been unfair? Who causes you sorrow? Who's been unkind? Now I
rain, squall, and all weather. You're a regret that rub out the present.
That's Bubble, as sung by King Creosote and Amy McDoodle, live in the studio. More from them a little bit later on. You're listening to Late Junction with me, Verity Sharp, live from the Edinburgh Festival. Great photos from last night's concert can be found on the Late Junction page of the Radio 3 website. You can also find us on Twitter at BBC Radio 3. And of course, the programmes will be available on the iPlayer for you to listen to for the next 7 days if you happen to miss anything or want to hear it all over again. Anybody who's spent any time at this festival knows just what an indulgence, if not an overindulgence, it is for the senses. And this morning, even before I'd reached the Queen's Hall to hear John Williams and John Etheridge give their concert at coffee time, I'd found myself in a room listening to what has to be some of the world's oldest music, revered courtly music from Japan, which has been preserved and protected by musicians for over 1,000 years. It's called Gagaku, which literally means elegant music. What an incredibly rich and powerful sound that is. The ancient music from Japan called Gagaku, played there by just three, can you believe it, of the musicians of the Imperial Household Agency in Tokyo, who've come to perform at the Edinburgh Festival for the very first time. And this is, in fact, one of the very rare occasions that the music is ever performed in public. Ordinarily, this is music for private ceremony. Shogo Anzai is the chief musician for the Imperial Household Agency. And Mr. Anzai, I think the first thing that strikes me is the sheer volume of this music. It makes me wonder if this is music to be played outside or in huge palatial spaces.
Yes, it is the case that it was often performed outside, mostly with the principal reason being that it was an accompaniment to dance, and the dance was performed outside, so the noise had to be loud.
Jiro Okuyama is the Master of Ceremonies for the Imperial Household Agency. Mr. Okuyama, because this is very, very old music, isn't it? I mean, do we know actually how old it is?
I think the oldest starting point was around the 5th century AD, and Japan imported music from the Chinese continent. These imports were mixed with what had been there traditionally in Japan, and then they grew up and gradually Japanized. Musical instruments were sorted out to cater to the needs of the Japanese ears. So over the course of 5 centuries, up until the 10th century AD, it gradually formed itself into what it is now, the current gagaku.
Literally the same music from the 10th AD to now. How has it managed to be preserved so perfectly?
There were hereditary musicians' families which were called gakke, and they are still called gakke. So music families. And basically the male line of that hereditary, century-old hereditary families actually carried this tradition down all the generations.
Mr. Anza, we're hearing 3 instruments here. Can you just describe each one?
The sho, which is sometimes called the, translated as a mouth organ, is a very special instrument. It creates chords, but they're different from the chords that you might hear in Western music. And what's particularly interesting is that the chords support the melody from above. It's like a harmony from above the melody rather than below, which is what you get in Western music. The second instrument, the hichiriki, which is sometimes translated as an oboe, is the instrument that plays the melody, the main melody of the music. And then the final instrument is ryuteki, which is a kind of flute, and that plays music in between the melody of the hichiriki and the chords of the mouth organ, the sho.
And Mr. Okuyama, how unusual is it for this music to be performed somewhere like the Edinburgh International Festival for a public audience?
The music department of the Imperial Household actually played performances overseas, and they made overseas performances 7 times after the World War II. And last time in the UK, it was 1970 and 1976 at the Royal Albert Hall. So as far as the UK is concerned, it's after an interval of 36 years.
So, Mr. Anzai, how did you come to learn and play this music? Were you born into a hereditary family?
I'm not actually a member of one of those traditional musical families. I just, from an ordinary household, but when I was young, I had the opportunity to join.
It must take years of training.
I joined when I was 12, and I'm now 64, so that's 52 years of long, hard practice.
The musicians of the Imperial Household Agency in Tokyo bringing the arresting music and dance of the Japanese gagaku to the Edinburgh Festival for the first time ever. I was talking to the chief musician Shogo Anzai and the master of ceremonies Jiro Okuyama. And my thanks to Mary Morton for translating. You're listening to Late Junction on BBC Radio 3. And by way of contrast, which of course is what we like on this programme, here is John Etheridge to play God Bless the Child by Billie Holiday. Thank you. Lovely stuff. God Bless the Child by Billie Holiday, as played by John Etheridge. And he's here with John Williams. We've been listening to them as a duo at the Edinburgh Festival. And, of course, they're here in the studio. And I think you're going to play a couple of pieces next inspired by African music. And as we were saying, that's the kind of common ground on which the two of you met. But, I mean, John Williams, I mean, you forged, obviously, such an amazing career for yourself as a classical musician. What was it that really made you want to go out and explore music of other cultures and look elsewhere?
I don't know. It just happens. I think, you know, in London, you come across so many things. You hear so much music. I've always loved African music anyway, generally. So,
did you want to kind of challenge yourself technically as well at all?
Not really. What's interesting is that the feel, well, we say African music, but I mean, it's so much, it's different depending on whereabouts in Africa you are. I mean, totally different, you know, the influences. But the general feel is different. You know, there's of course, you have a lot of drumming and a lot of very rhythmical music, but there's also a kind of rhythmical feel in their music, which is very loose. You know, our European music is quite square, really, if you think about it. Even the popular music is all quite downbeaty. And so I've always loved that aspect. And it, with Latin American music or South American music or Caribbean music, the African influence is so strong that I think some of the great life in that comes, you know, from Africa. And, of course, it's the mixture then. So just, you know, through the guitar's natural... what's the word? Natural... alliances, backgrounds, you come across a lot of music, and you'd have to be a bit, I think, you have to be a bit silly not to be affected by it, you know. So I've been affected by it even before I started playing African music, for example. I've always loved it and thought. One interesting thing is that a great Cameroonian musician, Francis Bebe, told me, became a great friend of mine, he said the guitar was the most popular instrument in Africa. And I thought, you know, Francis, what do you mean? You know, he said, because, you know, most of the music culture is very regional. You know, you have the harp, the kora in West Africa, and you have various, you know, have the South African choirs, you have different instruments from... He said, but the guitar is popular everywhere. Mm. And so, you know, it was quite an interesting way of looking at it. He was a guitarist himself, by the way, a singer, guitarist, songwriter.
We're going to hear you, a piece called Hello Francis, which I presume is your tribute to him. If you'd like to take your place
with your
guitar. And John Etheridge, after that, we're going to hear another piece called Mintopa, which I think is sort of from the Madagascan side of the African tradition. Is that right?
That's right, yeah, the other side. Yeah, yeah, by Rossi. Thank you.
Metopa by the Madagascan composer Rossi, as played by John Williams and John Etheridge, and that was preceded by Hello Francis, which was John Williams' tribute to Cameroon's great Francis Bebe. It's been incredibly short and incredibly sweet tonight. We have to rush off now, but do join us tomorrow. We're going to be back in the big blue tent at the BBC Fringe venue. All sorts of people on stage there. The great Azerbaijani Mugham singer Alim Gazimov, Scotland's leading new music group, the Hebrides Ensemble. Dick Gochan's going to be there, and Camille O'Sullivan is going to join us hot foot from her production of The Rape of Lucretia. All that at 11. My thanks to all musicians who've joined us here tonight, and I shall now just ask King Creosote and Amy McDougall to play us out with another couple of songs, starting with one called Doubles Underneath. Till tomorrow, good night.
Let's go. On all stations, Paul Simon is the best by far I heard in hours. What's up with that? And I learned from the Gales that the Viennese have a vacancy for a brand new Santa Claus. That a domino thief is causing grief, chapping on doors, his doubles out beneath. He gets my round of applause. It's definitely something up, because the clocks have all but stopped back in 1984. Let's go. Wow, 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 wow. Escape my early 80s vinyl at your peril, don't I know? You didn't hide them all too well, scratched them all to hell and back, I suppose. You ought to go. Definitely something up, because the clocks have all but stopped back in 1984. It's the decade you're so proud of, it's the one that came before all that guff, it's the good one, don't I know? It's the decade you're overly proud of, it's the one that came before that 90s gap, it's the one that I adore. Let's go. Wow, 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 wow. It's definitely something up, because the clocks have all but stopped back in 1984. It's definitely something up, because the clocks have all but stopped back in 1984. Let's go back.
Seamless transition.
to sweat on me, and I'll pretend I'm paranoid. Rain, requiem, rain down, rain all we can, rain down.
Cold or rain we can, I swallowed up an argument, fall on the floor to humble me in my
That was King Creosote and Amy McDougall bringing this evening's Late Junction to a close. Verity will be back again tomorrow night, live from the Blue Tent at the BBC's Edinburgh Fringe site at 11. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio online. It's 12:30 and time for Through the Night with Jonathan Swain.
Welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Beethoven from Paris to set us off tonight, a concert the Prajak Quartet gave there in January this year. On the bill, one of the Beethoven-Razumovsky quartets. First, though, a piece that, surprisingly, isn't heard that often. It's Beethoven's only string quintet, even though he made string quintet versions of some of his other pieces. This quintet followed on from his Opus 18 string quartets. The stormy finale alone, you'd have thought, would have guaranteed the piece maximum exposure. What about the gently flowing, romantically evocative themes in these opening movements? Schubert here, for example, doesn't seem that far away. Thank you.
Thank you.